the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. Yes, my sin, and I believe the sin of many in the church. And even though God has been gracious to us, his portly people, God is not pleased with any sin. And he wants us to know that it is sin to overeat. The proof of overeating is having, being a person who is obese. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And by the way, my baby son tells me that that's Daniel Ezekiel. He tells me that eat or ate is mentioned 12 times in this passage, right at the beginning of the Bible. So our original sin came through eating. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. We have some plants in our gardens that can kill you. We have plants in our gardens that we should not touch as well, according to the law. It's a plant. It grows up just like everything else. But still, in most states in the country, you can't touch it. You should not touch it. You should not grow it. The plant is called marijuana. From my wife's country of Jamaica, what do they call it? Ganja. Some call it weed. Some call it reefer. Spike Lee still calls it a joint. You ought not to touch it. So there are plants that we should not touch in the garden. They grow wild. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. God is basically, he's saying God is lying. I didn't say it, he said it. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. Now he's trying to say that God is trying to hold something back from you. That's how many people feel today who are under authority. They foolishly believe that somebody's trying to hold something back from you, from your having fun with, or whatever the case might be. That's how some wives feel. That's how some employees feel. That's how some children, teenagers feel. And that's how the devil tried to make Eve feel. Oh, yeah, that's just a lie. Yeah, he just don't want you to know what he knows. That's all. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that, and don't judge Eve, because all of you would have done the same thing. All of us would have done the same thing. Well, I know about good, but what is this evil? Let me see. Curiosity killed the cat, and it killed the human race as well. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Apply it to our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits. Help us to learn what you want us to learn. Help us to do what you want us to do. And Lord, help us to at least be honest that we have a problem. Help us to at least acknowledge it before dying in lost world. And Lord, help us to let them know that we are aware of it and that we're trying to do something about it. Lord God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our continual sin of gluttony, eating more than our body needs, because it is very pleasurable to us. Forgive us of our other sins that we commit in connection to the sin of gluttony. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you and thank you for those saints, Lord, who have maintained their weight. We even thank you for those who don't look obese. They struggle a little bit, but they are fighting, and they're fighting hard, and they're doing well. And we pray now for those of us who have literally overextended ourselves by eating too much. For whatever reason, it is a sin. And help us to not only confess it as sin, but to repent of it as sin. The acceptable sin of gluttony. And Lord, help us to repent of that, to turn from our evil ways, and help us to do your will. Glorify your holy name. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. And help us to apply your holy word to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ava Grius, the solitary, said, when the intellect is blunted by eating too much, the quality or state of being fed or gratified to or beyond capacity. Wow, what a way to put it. Eating so much that it goes beyond the God-given capacity for you to eat. We stretch our stomachs. And so we overextend our waistlines. He said it does not receive the knowledge of God if we stuff ourselves and focus on eating and committing the sin of gluttony. I want you to pay attention to this statistic. It's very, very dire and very serious. According to Stanford Health Care Center, obesity is a major cause of high blood pressure, and we have it bad in the black community. And if you would, let me come out of that quote for a second and say we are hurting ourselves when we take pills, high blood pressure pills, instead of deal with the problem that's causing the high blood pressure in our community and in other communities as well. Just like we're hurting ourselves and we're taking pills to lower our sugar, but yet we're still eating high quantities of sugar. This is asinine, to be quite frank with you. And so allow me to share this with you, this quote. Additional fat tissues in the body needs oxygen and nutrients in order to live, which requires the blood vessels to circulate more blood to the fat tissue. This increases the workload of the heart because it must pump more blood through additional blood vessels. More circulating blood also means more pressure on the artery walls. Higher pressure on the artery walls increases the blood pressure. In addition, extra weight can raise the heart rate and reduce the body's ability to transport blood through the vessels. Just that quote alone is worth your being here today. Just that quote alone can save your life. It helps you to understand why you have high blood pressure. As I've said before, I will say again, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us in the alone, dark night when we're by ourselves. And we have to deal with our obesity and the shame of it. If you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. It has to be dealt with. One of the benefits of this series is that it lets the world know that we are self-aware, that we are aware of the problem in the church. And at least it is being addressed. And more important, at least it is being acknowledged that we have a problem in the church with gluttony and obesity, and it's been a long-standing problem and is not one that can easily be shaken. In the account of the sin of our first parents, we have already seen two parallels that shed light on how we are drawn into gluttony and kept in bondage by it for years and years and years, until our fat selves lie down in an expanded casket, a special sized casket. And don't you know that if you're overweight, if you're obese, you pay a fat tax? You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" They would not dare call it that. I'm calling it that. You're going to pay extra for your food. If you are truly obese and you cannot fit in an airplane seat, you're going to pay extra for two seats because you're too fat to sit in one seat comfortably for yourself and comfortably for the other person who paid for their seat, because your fat blubber goes over into the other person's seat and they don't like it. They don't want it. They don't want it. Right? They don't want to ride twin with you like that. And so you got to pay for two seats. And they'll make you pay for two seats. And people get offended. And that's what's so sad to me. When the fat people get offended, "Why do I have to pay for two seats?" Because you're taking up two seats. What are you talking about? See, you know why they can't understand it? Because they see themselves as skinny in their minds. They cannot see the fat blubber all around them. They can't see it. They don't see it. In their mind, they believe they can fit into anything else. No, ma'am, no, sir, obese one. You cannot ride the Batman ride at Six Flags. But I want to ride. No, you can't. It's not a matter of money, or it's not a matter of, you know, we don't want you to ride. We want your money. But you are too fat to get in there. The thing will not lock down on you. And you're holding up the kid, talking about, I paid my money. See? And this is what gets me. And with a serious look on their face, they mad as the devil and want to sue somebody. And it's their fault. See, obese people cannot see themselves, but other people see you coming. And here you are, 400 pounds, want to get on the Superman ride, or the Batman ride. You know you can't get on the Superman ride because the thing is, Superman ride goes straight up. If you go get on one side, it's going to lean like this. You can't do that. Don't you get mad with me. Don't get mad with me. They see you coming. And with the young man at the gate at the Batman thing that do this number, kind of hold the, you know, they hold the thing up and they do this number. That means go away. They're trying the nicest way they can say it, do it. They do this, they hold it there. Now you know they're saying in their mind, you know better. You know you can't get on here. Please, don't make me. Let me. You want to get on here anyway? Let me show you. They put the thing down. Sir, it will not go. Sir, it won't lock. You can't ride. You're holding up everybody. We got 100 people on this ride. You got to get out. Why I got to get out? Because the thing won't lock down. You're going to be spread across the ground if you don't. Be reasonable. Be reasonable. Don't you get mad with me. Because I am right there with you. I can still get on the rise. I'm glad about that. But I'm right there with you. I'm not a skinny person telling you that you need to lose weight. I'm up there myself. And I'm ashamed of it. How about you? And I know how I got there. I had a lot of fun getting there. Let's be reasonable. And you have too. But when we know better, we ought to do better. And that's what this whole thing is about. By the grace of God, yes, I'm preaching against it, and we need to repent of it. At the same time, I'm providing education so that you can begin to think differently. Because this is a lifestyle change for us. Those of us who are 40 and above. And nowadays, with so many fat young people, I have to include some 20-year-olds and some 30-year-olds. We have seen that this captivity to the flesh comes through the lust of the eyes. We are attracted to foods that are pleasing in appearance but may not be good for us. Yesterday, my baby daughter, Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White. Breedlove comes from my great-great-grandmother, who was a Christian, and who was in my life. She finished 52 podcasts straight, and my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, produced all 52 podcasts. They did it by themselves. And so I was so proud of them. That's a year's worth of podcasting, back to back. So I was so proud of them. I bought them a pineapple upside down cake. Now they can eat it, and it won't affect them at all. You say, preacher, well, you attempted to eat some of that. Oh yes, I hadn't had pineapple upside down cake in years, man. And it looked good, dripping with whatever the sugary, syrupy stuff they have on it. And the pineapple soaked into the... My baby daughter said, Papa, would you like to have some? Because they always want it. They can't eat in my house until I get what I want to get. And so she came to me, said, Papa, would you like to have some? I said, baby, I sure do. I would love to have me a piece of that pineapple upside down cake. But I can't. I can't preach on gluttony and eat that cake. I know I don't deserve that cake. I know I don't need that cake. So you enjoy. I went ahead and compromised on your birthday, ate a little bit of your cake, and I think I'm still suffering from it now. So you go ahead on and enjoy that cake. I did it. By the grace of God, I didn't want to, boy. I was getting ready to lay into it. At least give me a whole pineapple. But God gave me the grace to say no. Y'all keep on praying for me because half of it is still here. Some of the folks who were supposed to have some last night didn't get any. So you pray that I maintain. You pray that I not yield to that temptation. We allow gluttony, beloved, into our life even further when we talk ourselves into buying and eating foods that we know are bad for us, such as pineapple upside down cake and ice cream on top. That sounds like an all-American deal, but we don't need to be participating in that, those of us who are struggling in that area. Now I want you to notice with me briefly today that gluttony is further entrenched when we share our bad food consumption habits with others. Eve was not content to keep the forbidden fruit to herself. The Bible says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And now that's another thing we gluttons like to do. If we have something good, we want everybody to have something good. If you don't believe that, look at some of your friends on Facebook. They share so much, you get to the point you don't even want to hear from them anymore. Sharing about this. Oh, I'm cooking this. What you cooking? And they'll send you a video of it frying on the stove. Then they'll send you a picture when it's done. And you're supposed to respond back, oh, that looks good. Mm-hmm. We're having it here. What are y'all having? And some people like to show off and be dancing around while they're cooking the food and everything. Everybody, you know, people, we gluttons particularly, we like to share what we're eating and tell others to eat it as well. I recall one time I had a prime rib steak that melted in my mouth. I called a preacher friend I was talking to. I said, preacher, have you ever had prime rib, man? He said, well, I had something. I said, the prime rib. I said, you would know it if you had it. He said, well, no, I guess not. I said, man, you ought to go out to an elite grocery store and get you 2 pounds of prime rib, man. It'll make your tongue slap your brain out your head. What am I doing? I'm trying to get him to eat what I eat. That's how we are. We like to share those experiences. And they on the surface, they sound very innocent. But we have put on thousands of pounds by sharing the things that we like with others and the things that they like with us. one of the most fun things in the world is to eat, and to eat with somebody you like being around is a beautiful thing. It's a fun thing. Have you ever thought why we fail because of eating? It was something that we ate that caused us to fall into sin. Out of all of the things we could do, Eve had to share it with someone else. This compulsion to share the act of eating with others is a major problem for those of us who are overweight in the church, because many of us have conflated fellowship with eating. To show you, I'm in the midst of this right now as I speak. My daughter, Danita Evangeline White, is going on her first foreign mission trip. And I remember when she was a little girl, how she said repeatedly, "Papa, I want to be a missionary." She would read missionary stories. And in a few hours, she's going on her first foreign mission trip. Now, she's been doing mission work with me for years, but physically going on a mission trip, this is the first one, a foreign mission trip. And the first thing I said, they have taken me to dinners and they have taken me to lunches and all of that, and taken me to movies they wanted to see and so forth, and I've enjoyed all of that. They suggested it. But this time, lo and behold, and I'm in the middle of preaching on gluttony, automatically, without even thinking, I said, "Why don't we just have a mission celebration dinner tonight?" And it just struck me that I did that. I named the place. I named what we're going to eat. And the salad and everything. And while I'm up here preaching on gluttony and preaching on inviting others to enjoy eating with us, lo and behold, I'm right smack dab in the middle of it. After I finish preaching to you, I'll be having dinner with my missionary daughter. And we're going to celebrate her going on a mission trip, not by fasting. We'll pray, but not by fasting, but eating something that I concocted in my mind, a mission celebration dinner. Just like that. You say, "Well, preacher, are you going to call it off?" No. I'm not going to call it off. We're going to eat dinner together. We're going to celebrate this wonderful milestone for her life and for my life. I remember years ago when I was her age and younger, when God called me to go preach on the foreign field, and I did so by the grace of God. It was extremely exciting, and I know she's excited tonight, and we're going to enjoy that excitement together. Scott Stoll, a medical doctor and member of the Whole Foods Scientific Medical Advisory Board, wrote, "The contemporary church culture has unwittingly contributed." He said the contemporary church culture has unwittingly contributed to the rise in overweight and obese parishioners. Now, I'm overweight. Thank God I'm not obese. And I hope that through this series, by the grace of God, I will not be in the class of the overweight saints. But he goes on to say, "The sacred Sunday ritual between services is donuts in many churches today." I told you about this. "Bagels and cream cheese and coffee with cream and sugar and Cool Whip. Tables at potluck done us. I love this wording. Strain under the weight, my, of pound cakes, pizza, fried chicken, and cheesecake, and you're not even, you know, you can't be saving and don't like cheesecake. There's something wrong with you. I remember when I was a boy, my mother just loved cheesecake. She loved talking about cheesecake. And as a boy, I couldn't understand, how can you make cake out of cheese? I said, that's the most disgusting. That's the most disgusting thing I ever heard of. Cheesecake, that's nasty. And I would see it in the fridge. I said, that's some nasty stuff. Cheesecake. And then my Aunt Betty, when I visited, I was preaching in New York. And my Uncle Johnny took me to Junior's. Mom said, try this cheesecake right here. Cheesecake. All right, let me try it. And I never looked back. I understood. I became addicted like my mother to cheesecake. But the table at the potluck dinner is dipping because of all this food. It is straining under the weight of the cheesecake. And fellowship is not considered complete without these rich, decadent, and yes, addictive foods. Now my daughter, Danita Evangeline White, the missionary, she's leaving out early in the morning. And the truth of the matter is, we ought to just pray together all the way up until time for her to leave. But one of the first things we're going to do is eat together. Automatically. It's already set. Before I could even come under conviction. Being around people who love eating and who appreciate good food only makes you want to eat more yourself. And now let me say now, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not overeating. There's nothing wrong with it if you're not overdoing it. Overeating at the place, sneaking and ducking and hiding and stuffing your mouth, and then covering up a plate, a little plate, a little saucer. You go, you know, they had these little saucer, paper plate. With a paper towel, you're taking something with you. See, that's when you're overdoing it. Because you're going to really get down when you get home. Nobody's watching. Get them pajamas on. Pull that little paper plate out that you done stacked up to the ceiling. You good to go then. That's when you're going to sure enough get down. Being around people who are overweight and or obese makes you feel comfortable in your own expanded circumference. You don't stand out. You don't feel as uncomfortable. You don't feel as fat. Why? Because you are sharing your addiction to food with like-minded individuals. 2 or 3 times a year, I'll get a prime rib from the grocery store. And these are high-end grocery stores. There's nothing like it on earth. And I got a buddy behind. He's rotund like I am. He just smile and grin when I come and here. And he said, now that prime rib right there, he said, pick the one you want. Pick the one you want, brother. And I picked the one. He said, go down. He said, go down this way. Okay, I said, I want this one right here. He'll pull it out. Oh, he says, that's a beauty. That's what he said. He said, oh, that's a beauty. That's the one I would have picked. He said, now they say, brother. He said, they say, brother, that'll feed 2 people right there. Yeah, he said, but no, man, I can take care of that.
I can have that myself. How about you, preacher? Yes, sir. We all into it. We smiling and grinning. That's my buddy. We know. Yeah, he said, they say that a feed too. Brother, what you think? He said, for me, man, that I can take care of that myself. And I said, yeah, man, you right about that. Right there with him. All right, he said, I appreciate you, man. I'll see you next time. We know. We know. We just speak a certain language with each other. We know. So, beloved, in order to overcome the stronghold of gluttony, you will have to shun participation most times in fellowship meals, taking part in church events where large amounts of food are served, going over to a church member's house for dinner or for some kind of meeting, and eating out with people from the church. You're going to have to curtail that. You must never place yourself in a position where you can use fellowship as an excuse for eating foods you know you don't need. Amen, somebody. You're going to have to change your lifestyle if you want to live in style, if you will. Practical step for today in the rave diet and lifestyle. The author says we should avoid eating all animal foods. Now, I've already made it clear to everybody in my family that I'm not going 100% strict vegetarian or vegan. I have some dear Seventh-day Adventist people who have done that. They are bald-headed and they don't want to be. They look emaciated. The blood looks like it ran away from their face down into their feet. I don't know where it went. They look sickly. Not all. But I have some dear Seventh-day Adventist friends. They're good friends of mine, and I love them, and I still go to their health food store. The best health food stores in the world are Seventh-day Adventists. But I could never understand why I had one brother who, he always wore a hat in the store. And come to find out he was bald. He was a vegetarian since birth, and he's bald-headed. All his hair's gone. See, I don't know what it is, but you gotta eat some fish or something. Eat some salmon or something. You gotta have something. Because nothing from nothing leaves nothing, I guess. I don't know. So, however, what I'm doing is on points of celebration, and Sunday being a day of celebration, I think it's wise to eat vegetarian for 6 days and then kill the fatted calf on Sunday. And for Thanksgiving, kill the fatted calf or the fatted turkey or whatever it is. Christmas, Easter, birthdays, anniversaries. That's if you and your wife get along, you and your husband get along. Don't have a fake anniversary meal or nothing. You don't have anything going on. But anniversaries, spiritual birthdays, graduations. I've already told my oldest two daughters, once they get their next master's degree, that we're going to a certain restaurant. And we've already been there once. It's going to cost over $100. And there's a Ruby Tuesdays that we go to in North Carolina after every graduation. And we just flat enjoy ourselves. I believe that's how we ought to face it. We ought to deal with it. We ought not to commit to completely not having a steak three or four times a year, not having salmon once a week, once or twice a week.
not having some baked chicken on Sunday. There's some things in that that we need, particularly if you get it organic. It's better for you. But anyway, he writes, all animal foods are excluded from the RAVE diet because they promote the major degenerative diseases sweeping across the country. The link between animal foods and cancer, for example, was uncovered back in 1892 with a study published in the Scientific American. Subsequently, there has been a mountain of evidence compiled that confirms this link. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know better than we do that it's hard to resurrect a sin and to help people see it as sin when we have been so worldly and so fleshly that we're blinded to the sin and the consequences of it. And we begin to medicate the consequences of our sin. And somehow foolishly begin to think it's normal to have diabetes and heart issues and mind issues. And we create pills to combat the stuff that we ought to stop. And that is killing us. So, Lord, forgive us of our ignorance. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, our faults. And open our blinded eyes to the sin in our lives and how we have covered it over and have made it normal when it is not normal. Help us to repent by the power of your Holy Spirit, because if we don't repent by the power of your Holy Spirit, we're not going to stop it. If we don't see it as sin, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we're not going to stop it. We're going to keep on rolling along until we're dead. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, help us to repent. Amen.